Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. Amen. We're going to do something a little different tonight, and get ready. It's just a new thing, a new way, just tonight as the Lord leads. We're going to pray right now like we always do. We always begin with prayer because we are a house of prayer. It's just who we are, so prayer is part of who we are. It's how we begin everything. We don't do it to become religious. We do it out of love for the Lord and respect and acknowledging His presence. Even though we can't see Him, we acknowledge His presence. He's right here with us. So just stand with me just for a moment, if you would, and just lift your hands. It's a way of praising God. It's a way of expressing worship. It's a way of expressing surrender. You know, when you lift your hands like this, it's an international sign of surrender. Every language understands that you're surrendering. So it's a good place to begin with God. We're not in a battle with Him, but we gladly surrender to perfect love, don't we? Hallelujah. So we gladly surrender to You, Father. It's our joy. You said if we submit ourselves to You, we can resist the devil and he'll flee. Yes. So we like to begin there, and we acknowledge You. We thank You for Your wonderful fatherly love, steadfast love, Your mercy. You've never given up on us. You never quit on us. You didn't throw us away. You didn't discard us. Even when we weren't looking for You, You loved us and You ran after us. And Lord, there's just no one like You. There's just not enough words to say thank You, Father, for Your steadfast love and Your mercy and Your grace. And tonight, wonderful Wednesday, would You just be glorified? Would You be lifted up? Would You be honored? Would You, God, be ministered to as we minister to You tonight, as we will later on in worship? Help us to minister to You now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around, give a smile first, a wonderful, beautiful, wonderful Wednesday smile to some people. And then we're going to jump. Amen. Roy, I like you're on the front row. That's good, buddy. Awesome. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We're going to go right into the Word tonight. We're going to go right into the Word, the Scripture, the teaching. And then at the end, we're going to do some worship and in a different way. And so don't be in a hurry. Just relax and enjoy the presence of the Lord and minister to the Lord, and you'll have opportunity to do that. Tonight, I want to talk to you about God's chosen fast, and many of you are fasting, some maybe for the very first time, spiritually fasting, and so I felt like the Lord really gave me something to say to you. Actually, Wednesday afternoon, as soon as I went home, it was like boom, boom, boom. He started showing me things that He wanted me to share with you. And so tonight, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about God's chosen fast. There's a scripture in the book of Zechariah, chapter 7. You probably don't read that book very often, but Zechariah, chapter 7, the people of God had started a fast, and they would fast on the 5th and the 7th months of the year, and they just made it a routine, and they did it for 70 years. So 70 years, every 5th month and every 7th month, I don't know for how long, they made that a fast month, or a month where they really focused in on fasting. And what started out as a good thing, like humans sometimes, we can start out something that it's a good thing, but it can become a religious thing. And God is not interested in taking something that's meant to be from Him to bless you, to be spiritual, and you turn it into a religious ritual where you're kind of just going through the motions. You know, the Muslims fast at Ramadan every year, and they do it as a ritual. It's just something that they do. It's just on the calendar. We got to do it. And they go through those motions. And God never intended His people to follow that kind of religion or that kind of ritual or routine. And so the same thing goes with anything you do. Praying. Praying can become a ritual where you just kind of go through the motions, and you can say the Lord's Prayer and think that you're really connecting with God, but you're just going through the motions. And the same thing can be true with tithing or anything that you do at church. You can just go through it without heart and without any meaning. And so we always need to ask ourselves the question, why? Why am I doing this? What is my motive? And so in Zechariah chapter 7, through the prophet, God speaks to His people, and He says, when you fasted, did you really fast for Me? So today, those of you who are fasting, why are you doing it? Well, the preacher said Sunday that we should do this. We're going to do this on Wednesday, so that's a good idea. We're going to do this. That's not a right motive. That's no more than a Muslim. That's no more than just going on a diet. So God asked the question to you and to me today, as He asked me this question out of Zechariah, when you fast, that's up to you, are you really fasting for Me, God says? What's your motive? It's vital for us in the new covenant to be led by the Spirit of God. That's Jesus' intention. He left the earth. He gave us His Holy Spirit. He intends for us to be led by the Spirit of God. In everything we do, led by the Spirit. You see, in everything, yeah, everything. And that's a growing process, a maturing process. But God's intention for you and for me is to be led by the Spirit. We're to be Spirit-led people. The Holy Spirit will lead us. And God wants to lead us even in times of prayer and fasting. Did you ever consider that eating and drinking can be a way to glorify God? That's a question you can answer. Yes, no. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul warned against idolatry. He was telling the Christians who lived in an area where there was a lot of idolatry and people believed in all kinds of demons, what they were, idols and statues and the spirits behind them. And they would have meals and they would dedicate them to idols and this. And we're going to have a feast of whatever, a feast of this, a feast of that. And Paul warned the Christians, now, if you go to any one of these meals and you know up front that it's a meal that's being offered or in the honor of an idol, don't participate in that. But he's saying, you know, if it's not declared that's what it is, just don't worry about it. Don't become religious about everything. And so then Paul said in this, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. In other words, be led by the Spirit. Don't give offense to the Jews or the Gentiles or the Church of God. You know, the Jews don't eat this and the Gentiles eat this. Don't get caught up in all of that. But don't worry about trying to please people. But realize that you are here as an influencer, as salt and light to the community. They need to see the Lord in you. So whether you eat or drink, whatever it is you do when you're involved, do it to the glory of God. Do it to make God known, to make God's light seen in your life in some way. And so there are times when we eat actually to the glory of God. Why do you pray over your food, if you pray over your food? Is it because it's become a ritual, you know, you're religious, we got to pray over the food. Why are you doing that? There's nowhere in the Bible that I can see that says, God says, you got to pray over your food. Why are you doing it? You're thanking God. Okay, there you go. There's a good motive. Okay, I'm doing it to thank God. Yeah, he took the communion, took the bread, and he thanked God. Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying, these are questions you need to ask. Why do I do this? To glorify God? Well, good. That's a good answer. You know, if it's out of fear, boy, if we don't do it, then something in the food's going to make us sick. Or well, that's superstitious. So there are times to feast, and there are times to fast. Eating and drinking can be spiritually good, or it can be spiritually bad. The motive of why you do it is very important to God. Everything we do. And so the same question that Zechariah the prophet, God was speaking to him, to the people. When you fast, are you really doing this for me, or is this for you? The same question was asked by God through another prophet, Isaiah the prophet. In Isaiah chapter 58, which is a great chapter to read while you're going through a time of fasting, the people of God were regularly fasting. They were taught that, and they did regular fast, corporate fast. But all of a sudden, some of them were got to complaining. Man, we're doing all this fasting, and we're not seeing any results. We're doing all this fasting, and God's not hearing us. We're fasting, but God's not doing anything for us. We're not getting any benefit out of it. And so they were saying in Isaiah 58, verse 3, why are we fasting, and God, you're not seeing? And God's swift answer was this: because in the day of your fast, you're seeking your own pleasure. You're not doing it for me, you're doing it for you. Is this a fast that I've chosen? Is this what I've wanted you to do? The obvious answer is no. Then we go to the New Testament. The same attitude was addressed by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus started off by saying, when you fast, not if you fast. He expected, yeah, we're going to fast. We're the people of God. It's part of what we do. He says, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces so they may appear to be unto men like fasting. Oh, I've been fasting for a long time. Truly, I say unto you, he said, they have their reward. Their reward was getting the attention of people. That's what they wanted. They wanted to look spiritually strong or spiritual in their fasting. And so they got their reward because people noticed them. Oh, you guys are fasting. Oh. Jesus said, but you, when you fast, you anoint your head, you wash your face, you comb your hair, so that you don't appear to be fasting. But your Father who sees in secret, will reward you openly if you do it unto him with the right motivation. Are you getting it? So the motive is very important. Why are you doing this? And fasting is to be done unto God. God doesn't need anything from us. Zero. So why do we fast? He doesn't need me to do without food. So why do you fast? A fast is to be done unto God. Isaiah 58 is a great chapter to read about fasting while you're fasting, to see the kind of fast that God wants us to have, his chosen fast. And he says in Isaiah 58, verse 5, he says, is this a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to humble himself? And really, he's being sarcastic here. Fasting is a humbling of yourself. It's the denying of yourself. It is a way you humble yourself before God. But God is pointing out here that people, in a way, they think that, oh, they're just doing it religiously outward. I'm humbling myself before you, God. I'm refusing to eat food. I'm spiritual. So fasting is voluntarily humbling yourself, yes, but it's before God, because you're expressing, when you do it right, that my life needs more than just food and water. Amen. My life needs God. I need a word from God. Jesus even quoted in the wilderness when he fasted 40 days and was tempted by the devil, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I need a word from you, God. I need you. Bread and water, yes, there's times for that, but I need a word from you, and that's more important than bread and water. Amen. Are you understanding?
Yes.
And so God goes on in Isaiah 58. Look at this with me. "Is this not the fast that I've chosen?" Now God's laying it out. Here's what I really want from you. When you fast, this is what I want. I want you to humble yourself, yes, in your heart before me. But what I'm after is that you would look inside your life and you would see the areas of your life you need to correct. You could see the areas of your life that are not in agreement with me. Your attitude, your way of thinking, to loose the bonds of wickedness. It's in your own. To undo heavy burdens. You've taken on heavy burdens, or you're causing heavy burdens on other people. To let the oppressed go free. To break off every yoke from your life and off of others. So the time of fasting and prayer is a time where you do three things. Inspection. Look inside me. Search me, O God. Point out to me in this extra time I'm giving with you, in this time when I'm normally be feeding my body, I'm purposely setting aside this time to be alone with you in more prayer, and I'm talking to you. Search me, O God. Show me the areas in my life where there's oppression. Show me where there's heavy burdens that need to be undone. Show me where there's yokes that need to be broken. I'm listening to you. I'm coming to you more than I am going to feed myself. I'm coming to spend this time with you so you can search my heart, O God, and know me and reveal to me these areas of my life that are not in agreement. This is the fast that God chooses.
Amen.
He wants to set you free. There's always areas of our life that we need to get more freedom. We need to break out of habits and whatever it may be. There's always. And the Holy Spirit knows these things, and he's trying to show you these things. But we're so busy running here and doing this, and that a time of fasting is a time where you slow down. Your body even slows down. You're not feeding it. You drink water, of course, but you're not feeding your body. Your body's actually slowing down. Your body's actually going into a rest mode. Your GI tract is not continually digesting food. For a change, your stomach and your intestines are going, "Hey, what's going on here? We're on strike? What's happening?" And your body's getting to rest internally. Your organs are not digesting food. You're finally slowing down. Not only is it a great physical benefit, but spiritually, you're slowing down and you're saying, "God, give me an inspection. I obviously don't see areas of my life that are hindering me. Show me what you want to show me. Undo those heavy burdens. Show me where they are." Inspection, correction, and then direction. That's how it comes. He's got to show you. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know these things until you slow down enough and say, "God, I've come to give this time alone with you. I'm coming to worship you. And put me under your microscope, God. Show me these areas of my life that are hindering to me, that you want me free from. Break every yoke off of me."
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit starts this way. It's unusual. The Holy Spirit starts off by putting a desire in you for a time of fasting. Maybe it's one day, maybe it's one meal. You've never done this before, so maybe you're going to take a break from work where you'd normally go out for lunch or have a lunch, but instead you're going to just shut yourself off from everybody and go find a place to sit in your car or someplace where you can be alone with God. Instead, give this as a sacrifice unto you. In your essence, by not feeding yourself food, you're denying yourself and you're saying, "God, I want to know you more than I want food. I want to know you, God. I want to have an encounter. I need you, God. I need a word from you. That's my bread. And so the Holy Spirit places a burden in your heart. You don't understand, but there's just a desire, maybe just an inkling desire. Maybe it comes from Sunday morning. The preacher talks about prayer and fasting, and next thing you know, there's a desire that rises up in you, and you says, I think I want to do that. Where did that come from? Didn't come from the preacher. It's not normal for people to want to go without food. You're really a weirdo. Laugh, laugh, come on. You mean you want to deny yourself food? And your body screams, no! We'll die! And you say, no, wait a minute. It's time for me to take back the control of my life. Instead of a spirit being that God created me, who has a soul and who lives in a human body, I've become perverted and twisted. I've become more body focused. And then I have a soul and a spirit. And I feed my body more than I feed my spirit. I've become more flesh dominated than spiritual. I've become more carnal than spiritual. And that's got to change. And so the Holy Spirit tells you how you can start that process is by a simple thing called fasting. Never done that before, I know. But Jesus made it clear it's part of your life. Now you're following Him. You have a new master. You have a new Lord. There's going to be times you need to deny yourself. Times you need to deny your body. Your body in King's stomach has dominated your life. He's been a dictator. You eat what you want to eat. You say whatever you want to say. You think whatever you want to think. And you do whatever you want to do. And ain't nobody going to stop you. That's the body. And so you want to reverse that. In your heart, you have a desire for God. I want to know Him better. I want to become more spiritual. He must increase. I must decrease. How do I do this, God? And God says, well, it's a process of fasting and prayer. And not only do you become less dominated by the physical senses, but when you fast and pray, if you remember from Sunday, it's the primary way you get rid of unbelief. You diminish unbelief. I couldn't say you ever get rid of it, but you diminish the unbelief part of you that's hindering the miracles, signs, and wonders that God wants to perform in your life, because you're more fleshly dominated than you are spiritual. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yes.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit places a desire, and maybe that's already there. Maybe that's why you're here tonight. And maybe if you're fasting, that desire, you're already activated that, and you're starting to this, and you're starting to seek God through fasting and prayer. And so you respond to this burden, a burden or desire to fast. And maybe this is your first day or your first time, and you're here tonight, and you're hearing about this. And what you're going to discover on your own is that when God places a desire in you to do something, He also provides the grace or the ability to carry it out.
Amen. Yes, He does.
It's not just you just striving through it. No, He gives you grace. If He's leading you, He provides grace. And grace is not just what you get when you get saved, but grace is the ability to do something that comes from God to enable you to do it His way. And so now this desire that came from the Holy Spirit was birthed in you, and you stepped out and you said, today's it. I'm fasting. I'm giving up a meal. I'm giving up a lunch, or maybe it's the whole day, or maybe you're on several days. I don't know. Whatever it is. But God's birthed it in your heart, so you're starting to move toward that godly goal that He has for you, to diminish the unbelief, to weaken yourself actually physically so you can become stronger spiritually. And so as you begin to do this, and there's going to be some places where, boy, right around dinner time, man, your feeding schedule, your body's saying, hey, it's 6 o'clock. Feed me. Hey, It's Wednesdays. We always go out for pizza. Come on. Your body ever talk to you like that, screaming? And you say to the body, shut up. You're not my boss. You work for me. I don't work for you. So get back in alignment. And so this is what fasting does in a funny sense. And so when I fast, when I sense the Holy Spirit telling me to fast, I usually have a scripture or two already I know that he just kind of wants me to stay focused on throughout the day. And I need something to focus on. So I focus on a scripture or a topic of scripture that I believe he's been revealing to me. And so I hang on to that. I write it out on a 3x5 card. I keep it in my pocket. I pull it out. And throughout the day, especially during the times I'd normally be having a snack or lunch or something, I go and I feed on the word. I don't just read it. I read it out loud to myself. I meditate on it. I read it over and over and over again out loud. Or I listen to it on my phone. I have an app that will, the scriptures will come up and speak out loud to me, the scripture. And so I hear it, and so I'm feeding on it in my spirit. Now here's how it happens to me. I don't know if it happens to you. But when I do this, and I go past that period of time I would normally be feeding, after I'm done doing that, I feel full. I don't feel hungry. I feel full. And that's just maybe me, but I don't have any hunger pains. I don't have any desire for food. I feel like, wow, I had a meal. And all I ate was the Word of God. And that's just me. I'm a little strange. So that's just what happens. I don't feel hunger. Do you know the difference between hunger and appetite? We usually switch them around. We just say, I'm hungry. No, you're not. You just have an appetite. Hunger is different from appetite. Very few times are we hungry. Oh, let me answer that for you, please. I love it. I love it. I love it. You remember Wolfman Jack years ago on the radio? It was before my time a little bit, but he'd call people up strangely on the phone. And, you know, so when I have a phone, I just, let me answer the phone. That's fine. Have some fun. It was spam? That would be even better. Maybe someone's going to listen to the recording. Okay, but anyway, so there's a difference between hunger and appetite. We most of the time in our life very rarely ever experience hunger. We experience appetite. And appetite is learned. And you trained your body to have certain feeding times. And if you can just get past those feeding times by occupying yourself with the Word of God and prayer, taking a prayer walk, doing something different, you'd be surprised. You're not really hungry. That's an appetite. Now, the devil will try to trick you and say, you're hungry. I suggest when you're fasting, don't watch a lot of TV, because they'll put those pizza commercials on and Snickers bars, and look out. Yeah. So, let me move along quickly, okay? So, one of the benefits of fasting unto the Lord as an act of worship is that you will increase strength spiritually, and one of those will be the fruit of self-control. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You know, God doesn't want to control you. He wants you to control yourself under the Holy Spirit's leading. Even in things such as eating and not eating. We already said eating food, drinking is spiritual. God made it that way. He made us to where we need food and we eat for health and so forth. And it's like people say, you should eat to live and not live to eat. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us with our appetite. I have a ferocious appetite. If I don't get, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep under my body like an athlete. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep under my body lest it gets away from me. My flesh wants to run ahead like a racehorse. I'm like an athlete. I have to train my body and I have to train my desires. Keep under it. I have to pull them down. I have to restrain them. I can't think everything. I can't say everything I think. I can't do everything I wanted that comes to my mind. I can't eat everything I want to eat. But I've noticed, boy, if when I start to let that appetite go a little too far, it gets away from me. And I have to go back out and lasso that thing and bring it back under control. Because if I eat one bag of M&Ms, that second one is, well, you might as well. You've gone this far. What's it going to do? You know, and then the bag of Cheetos or whatever it is. And my appetite can get away from me. And I have a feeling I'm not the only one. I have to bring my body under control. How do you do that? Periodic times of fasting is a good way to just discipline the flesh, to just say, get back in alignment. My body's to serve me as I serve the Lord. So it's training. So regular times of fasting, which I encourage you to do every Wednesday, just to make it a regular time of fasting. But there are going to be some Wednesdays it's not convenient for you to do this. I don't put myself under condemnation. I don't put myself back in bondage if I say, oh, today I can't fast because I got an appointment. And much of my ministry, believe it or not, is around eating food. Let's go out to lunch. Let's go out to dinner. Let's talk. That's okay. I can't be rigid, religious about, there are some days where I really don't need to do fasting today. Maybe make it another day, or maybe this week I'll just skip that, and that's fine. But I do a lot of ministry over meals. Sunday, we went to dinner to the Cappies after church, and it was a wonderful meal and wonderful fellowship. A lot of fellowship takes place around food. Do you know you can't have fellowship without food? Come on. Yes, you can. But we think we have a fellowship hall. What do we do back there? We eat food. But it's okay. Jesus did a lot of ministry over meals. He's invited to people's homes. And if I go to someone's house and they offer me food, I don't say, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm fasting today. Then I've just blown my own trumpet. I'm just trying to get you to notice, oh, he's spiritual. That's what Jesus said. That's what hypocrites do. So you're to be led by the Spirit in this, in what you eat, when you eat, what you eat, what you don't eat, when you fast, when you don't fast. You're to be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're free to be led by the Spirit. You're not under the law. Hallelujah. Amen. So Joel the prophet, back in the Old Testament, Joel the prophet said to the people of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, sanctify a fast. God was speaking through Joel the prophet and said to the people, sanctify a fast. That means set it apart unto God, for God. So there is a time to forget about your personal breakthroughs. I'm fasting for a breakthrough. There's time to do that. But when God said through Joel, sanctify a fast, he was saying, just not just fast, because sometimes we're fasting to, Lord, help me get rid of my unbelief. Lord, help me to focus on a prayer breakthrough for a loved one or whatever like that. And that's fine. But when you sanctify a fast, it's an act of worship unto God. You're not going for any personal gain. It's just, I just want to get closer to you. It's kind of like what Dennis said the last week when he said his number one reason for fasting was, I just want to get to know you, Holy Spirit, better. That's when you sanctify a fast. So when we find ourselves getting, fasting, when you're doing this on a regular basis, you can get like Anna. Look at Anna, the prophetess, in Luke chapter 2. There was a lady, it says, there was Anna, a prophetess. She was a widow for about 84 years of age, who served God, in other words, worshiped God, with fasting and prayer night and day. And that's something that really opened my eyes lately, was to see that fasting can be used as a way to worship God. Not as a religious ritual, but as an act of worship to God. I'm surrendering more of myself to you. I'm surrendering my appetite to you, God. I want you to have more control in my life over my appetites and my body. So here was a lady who worshiped God through fasting. If you're fasting today, you can use it as a way, I'm worshiping you, God. I'm worshiping you. And it's pleasing to the Lord. You're not trying to draw attention to yourself. You're just, I'm worshiping you, God. This is one way I can worship you, through fasting and prayer. Or you can be like the church in Antioch. Look at this scripture in Acts 13:2. It says they worshiped the Lord and they fasted. And then after they did that, the Holy Spirit said, I can tell you guys something. I can give you guys direction. So they worshiped. That means they surrendered to God. They surrendered their bodies, their appetites, and they surrendered themselves to God and worshiped God. And then God said, now I'll give you some direction. Now you can separate Paul and Barnabas for a special mission. And because of this leading at this little group of people that worshiped God through fasting and prayer, we have 2/3 of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul started his ministry right here. God said, I've got a special assignment on their life, because these people are sensitive enough to worship God. God's chosen fast is one that he appoints and he accomplishes for his... He has a reason. If he wants you to fast, if he's leading you, he has a reason and a purpose for it. It's a holy time set apart to him, to minister to him. John Wesley, you've heard of him, the great Methodist preacher. He said, I would not ordain any man to the ministry who does not fast at least twice a week. 2 days a week. Wow. I thought it's pretty strict. That's what he said. Because if he said, if they don't have control over their physical appetites and their bodies, then how can we trust them with the house of God? And he wrote something about fasting. I want you to read just a portion of it up here, and I'm done, and then we're going to go into worship. He says this, and this is what he wrote about fasting in a sermon. He said, first, let fasting be done unto the Lord. That's what I've been trying to say to you tonight. With our eye singly fixed on him. Let this be our intention alone. We're not trying to get anything from God. We're just trying to know God and worship God and love God, to glorify our Father in heaven. Let us be aware of our fancying we merit anything from God by our fasting. God forbid. You cannot twist God's arm by fasting. You cannot make God do something by fasting. And this is what he's saying. We cannot be too often warned of this. So if we fast unto the Lord, let's fast properly as to a God who sees us in secret. And he'll reward you openly, he says. How? I don't know. But he says he'll do it. Now, tonight we've done a flip-flop. Now we're going to worship. Now we've had the word poured into us. We've had a lot to meditate on, a lot of thinking, and the words being massaged into your heart. Many of you are fasting today already as an act of worship to God. And now Michelle's going to lead us into a different kind of worship. Harp